Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 163 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Let me go on record as saying I am tired of talking about Donald Trump. I would rather not talk about Donald Trump. I would honestly rather talk to you about a Kardashian than Donald Trump. But with Kim Kardashian being retired, not sure what she did, but whatever it is, she seems to be on hiatus from it. There's nothing else. There is no escape. We have no choice. I hope it's not for the next 4 years, but more than likely for the next 4 years, in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to have to talk about Donald Trump. So let's get started with the Taiwan call. Donald Trump talked to the president of Taiwan for about 10 minutes. We don't necessarily know what was said. We know that China has lodged a formal protest and that a U.S. president hasn't spoken to a Taiwan leader since 1979. Now, Donald Trump in Twitter, because that's the only way he communicates his tweets, says that the president of Taiwan called me, he capitalized, called me today to wish me congratulations on winning the presidency. And then he tweeted, interesting how the U.S. sells Taiwan billions of dollars of military equipment, but I should not accept a congratulatory call. Okay, so right away, the leadership of Taiwan said that that's not true, saying the call had been arranged in advance and put, of course, both sides agreed to the call ahead of time, which seems a bit more believable to me and to most reasonable people. Now, Trump calls Taiwan, which is an insult to China, which can piss China off. And it's very interesting what people say about it, okay? The White House said that it was not notified about the call. Well, of course not. So analysts seem to be split. Some say that Trump is clueless and has no advisors to help him navigate the intricacies of foreign policy. And others say it should be seen as more of what's in store when Trump takes office. When Trump takes office. So that's a great choice. Either the president-elect is clueless, and I'm going to just say right now, the words clueless and nuclear codes should never be applied to the same person, okay? Let's think about that. The words clueless and the words nuclear codes are both going to be applied to the same person who happens to be the president-elect. Or this is a shift in foreign policy, a change, basically a challenge to China. Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut tweeted, and it's good that our government tweets. It's the only way they really communicate. First tweet, he said, foreign policy consistency is a means, not an end. It's not sacred. Thus, it's Trump's right to shift policy, allegiances, strategy. Then he wrote, what happened in the last 48 hours is not a shift. These are major pivots in foreign policy without any plan. That's how wars start. Isn't that nice? That's good to know. I'm reassured. Are you? Are you reassured? Do you have your bunker yet? I'm telling you, things have switched. The liberals are going to be building bunkers. As a matter of fact, maybe liberals can buy bunkers from the conservatives because they were building them when Obama was the Antichrist and was going to end the world. Now they don't need them. So maybe we can flip it. I wonder how much a used bunker costs. I wonder if I can fit one on my little patio. I'm sure I'm going to end up having to look into it. So that's the start. Now, in other tweets, which is actually, I should just make that a segment of the podcast, in other tweets, and let's talk about what else Donald Trump has said this week. Donald Trump says that flag burners should either spend a year in jail or lose their American citizenship. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, here's the problem with that. Burning the flag has always been a form of protest, an extreme form of protest, but a form of protest. And it's also what's known as free speech. Okay, free speech, the same free speech laws that allow corporations to become people and donate money to campaigns as a form of free speech, the same free speech that allows crazy president-elects to tweet whatever the hell pops into their minds. That's also free speech. I'm not endorsing flag burning, but I'm not condemning flag burning. It's a right. It's free speech. It's what you do if you're allowed to. Okay, for one thing, the flag is just a piece of cloth. I know it represents more, but the actuality is it's just a piece of cloth. So you can burn, you know, clueless nuclear codes. That's all we got. Clueless nuclear codes. Trump, it's a beautiful, and when I by beautiful, I mean horribly fucked up thing. I don't know. I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know if it's, but the divide here with Trump. Now I know Barack Obama was the great divider and that there was no racism prior to Barack Obama being elected. Okay. Before you write in and tell me, before you tweet, before you text, whatever you, before you let me know, I know it's true. There was no racism prior to 2008. And then Barack Obama was elected, and he forced good Christian people to go racist. You know what my observation is on that? And I'm going to get back to the point of the Trump thing. But this was a difference. This is what I've seen. Barack Obama made racists angry. Donald Trump makes racists comfortable. Okay, that's the way I see it. Barack Obama made racists angry. Donald Trump made racists comfortable. I think comfortable is more dangerous. So, here's one side. Duncan Lloyd, a Philadelphia lawyer, okay, you talk about liberal elite, a Philadelphia lawyer, was caught on surveillance tape standing by while a second man spray-painted "Fuck Trump" on the side of a new upscale Fresh Market grocery store. That's a beautiful liberal protest, by the way. A lawyer who was literally caught on surveillance drinking wine while he was filming the other guy painting "Fuck Trump" on the side of a Fresh Market grocery store. That's beautiful. That is as liberal as you're going to get. A lawyer sipping wine while his friend paints "Fuck Trump" for him. I love it. Okay, so anyway, the lawyer, and again, he wasn't writing the graffiti. He was filming it while it was being done. Now, he hasn't been fired yet. He's cooperating with the police on the investigation, et cetera, et cetera. He's also laughing his ass off, you know. But Philadelphia Republican Party Chairman Joe DeFelice, I'm not sure the pronunciation, referred to the incident as the most bourgeois sight imaginable. I love it. So that's one side, okay? So we hit one side of the Donald Trump thing. We have the liberal who sips wine while "Fuck Trump" is painted on a Fresh Market grocery store. Now, the other side, and you may have seen this video, it's been pretty viral. There was a Trump supporter on an airplane, the flight. Interesting, both of these having to do with Pennsylvania. It was a flight to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and he was on the plane yelling that, you know, I know there's some Hillary bitches on this plane and Donald Trump won and blah, 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 blah. Okay, he was flying from Atlanta to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and he's yelling that we got some Hillary bitches on here, blah, 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 blah. He's been banned for life from flying on Delta Airlines, which is good for you, Delta. But it's funny that the two sides of the coin, the two different protests. Do you sip wine while graffiti is painted, or do you stand on a plane yelling, are there some Hillary bitches on here? Well, I guess there's a penalty for both. And being banned for life from an airline, that's a fair penalty. You know, and here's the thing. Now, I know you guys are going to talk about free speech, and I talked about free speech, but understand, free speech, you are entitled to, you can say what you want, but there can also be penalties. And this is in the private sector. This is what's important, and this is the separation. When I talk about burning the flag and there being no penalty, there's no penalty from the government. If you attempted to burn a flag inside an airplane, you'd be arrested for the danger that you created by open flame inside an airplane, and you would be, you could be banned by the airline. Or if you did it in, you know, inside of a store or a mall, they could ban you from the mall because that's a private thing. It's different than the government doing it. So the government isn't banning Hillary Bitches guy, but Delta is, which is within their right. I've been in that situation. I was banned from a hotel for making fun of the owners at the gig. I'm okay with that. It's private ownership. But I just think it's funny. I just think, wow, could you have two more, I don't know, extreme demonstrations against the same guy or for the same guy? And but I still give the W, okay? On the two protests, I give the W to the liberal lawyer sipping wine while he has someone paint graffiti for him, because that's beautiful to me. I love that. Something else happened this week, and to those, you know, there's a lot on Twitter who dismiss me as a racist because I mention race, which that's a right-wing move, right? Something racist happens, and then you call it out on the basis of race, and they say, well, you're a racist. You're always bringing up race. So in continuation of my racist ways, I will talk about this. Joe McKnight, ex-NFL player, running back, was shot and killed by Ronald Glasser in New Orleans. That happened yesterday or Thursday night. Ronald Glasser was released. Joe McKnight was black. Ronald Glasser is white. Now, interesting, and I am as taken aback as you are. The New Orleans police says this is not race related. Now, there have already been some witness accounts saying Glasser was standing over McKnight saying, you know, this don't fuck with me, and shooting him in the face. All of that's not true. Apparently, the shells were the casings were found in the car. There's also some allegations that McKnight reached in the car and grabbed Glasser to pull him out. Nobody knows. There isn't a story yet. We don't know exactly what happened. Witnesses are on both sides, blah, blah, blah. But this is the interesting thing. You shot and killed a man, and you're let out of jail the next day. Now, this could be one of those stand your ground situations. Stand your ground is just a vague law that says you can comfortably murder anybody you want. Okay? Because what it means is that you can, and I'm not an expert, I'm not a lawyer. It's hard to believe that I'm not a lawyer. I know you thought I was, and when I'm not doing stand-up, I should be practicing law. Matter of fact, I'm going to argue a case in front of the Supreme Court. Oh, wait, it doesn't matter. The Supreme Court is tied. Okay, sorry about that. A little snarky. Greg Proops would be proud of my snark. If you haven't listened to Greg Proops, the smartest man in the world, you should. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble focusing because this is it's comical to me to say that this is not race related. Because in New Orleans, in the exact same city, there was another killing. Will Smith, a former NFL player, was shot by a man named Cardell Hayes. Both men are black. Cardell Hayes has been in jail for months waiting for $1.75 million in bail. Okay, so a white guy shoots an ex-NFL player. He's let out of jail the next day. No charges have been filed. Police say they're going to investigate. A black guy shoots an NFL player. He's in jail for months later on $1.75 million bail. Good thing it's not race related. Don't know what happened. Don't know how it will play out. We have our suspicions. Yes, we have our suspicions. Now, here's another thing, and I just found this interesting. It is an editorial written by Dave Masciatra, and he's talking about people living in a bubble. Now, as we know, ever since this election, they say that, you know, the reason Donald Trump was elected is because liberals live in an elite bubble on the coast, living in L.A. or New York or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, and they're out of touch with real America being the white middle class Republican voter who put Trump in office, who needs a job and all this and all that. So the liberal intellectuals are in a bubble. But let's take a look at this. And the premise of this article is that all Americans live in their own little bubble. And the white conservative lives in just as much of a bubble as the liberal. Okay. Meaning that if you're a farmer in Iowa or you're a line worker in Nashville, Tennessee, stop and ask yourself, you know any black lesbian women? You know any recent immigrants from the Middle East? Do you know any Mexican immigrant children in college? Do you know anyone who isn't white? Do you know anyone who isn't like you? See, we all live in our bubbles. Now, I will tell you, I have encountered, I have a friend who I used to work with. She is a gay woman, a black gay woman, who happened to work on the line building stealth fighters at Lockheed. Is she un-American, Middle America? Have you met her? Have you talked to her? Because she was building weapons that were used for your defense. The stealth fighters we built won the first Gulf War. But she's a black gay woman. She one of them. She different. She shouldn't be allowed to get married or adopt or have a baby or whatever, right? I have another friend who is a black religious conservative who grew up in Brooklyn, lives in I'm not even going to get into where he lives now. But anyway, is he un-American? If his child is killed, does that black life matter? Because he's a religious conservative. So shouldn't his child's black life matter? If he, you see what I'm saying? The bubble thing is bullshit. Everyone's in a bubble. You know what I learned? People are people. And this is, I'll tell you when I learned this. For me personally, I was in Israel on a USO tour. And this was in the 90s when you could still go to the West Bank. So we were in Palestine. And when you're there, they had a church where they, you know, they say, if you believe, this is where Jesus was born. But the Israeli tour guide couldn't get out because we were in Palestine. So a Palestinian walked us around the church and took us to buy the souvenirs and blah, blah, blah. Then we went to Jerusalem and the Palestinian guy couldn't get out. So the Jewish guy showed us around, took us to buy souvenirs and stuff like that. And you know what? They were both the same guy, not the same person, but they were both guys who had a job showing tourists around, trying to make money to feed their families, send their kids to school, do whatever people do. They're both human. Okay. But we separate them by Palestinian and Jewish and so on. And just like here, listen, there's a lot that conservatives and liberals have in common just being Americans. But the conservatives have to get over this anger and victimhood. You got to stop playing this game. You're not the victim. You're obviously the majority, but it doesn't make you right in the sense it doesn't make you the only thing that's American. Okay? Black people are American. When Ann Coulter talks about having are both of your grandparents born in the United States? Yeah. If you're black, yeah, both of your grandparents were born in the United States. Their parents might have been owned, but chances are you're a real American by that standard, Anne. And you know, when you talk about immigrants, we are a nation of immigrants. Let's not forget, because we've already forgotten what's written on the Statue of Liberty. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. This is America. This is where people are supposed to come and be Americans. You know what? Americans come in all different colors. Americans are gay and straight. Americans are all different religions or not religious at all. So you get out of the bubble. Middle America, you get out of the bubble. All right. Stop pretending you're right. Start respecting other people. Start listening to other people and understanding maybe that black person has an idea. Or maybe that Mexican guy has been laid off and doesn't know how he's going to feed his family. Or maybe that young, pick a country, that young immigrant woman from Ireland, you know, whose parents came over here illegally, should be allowed to stay and go to college. You would never question her because she's white. But if her skin was brown, you'd be, get out. The hell out of this country. It's horrible. So what I plan to do, I don't drink wine, so that's a problem. But I'm going to find a lawyer, and I'm going to stand next to the lawyer drinking wine while we pay a guy to spray graffiti on a you know, maybe a Whole Foods. Maybe that'd be good. God bless us, and I wish us luck. I honestly don't know, but I do know that stop it with your the right-wing victimhood and this thing about intellectuals are in a bubble. The moment we started with that intellectual bit and the fact that you are educated and intelligent is a bad thing was the beginning of the end. So, yeah, I live in a bubble. I like my bubble. There are books there. Completely switching gears here. And honestly, I say gears because I'm a gearhead. The Chevy Bolt, the electric Chevy Bolt, won Car of the Year from Motor Trend. That's a big award. That's a big deal. It's also a big deal that it's an electric car from Chevrolet. You talk about a shift in America. Chevrolet, electric son bitch, America, going to be what, electric NASCAR shit? I don't know. The head of Ford says that there isn't a demand. Says the reason there isn't the boom that they predicted in electric cars is because the demand doesn't exist. This is another funny liberal issue, because here in L.A., there's plenty of electric cars. The Tesla is the go-to car. If you are an executive in L.A., you almost have to drive a Tesla, right? If you roll up in a Porsche or an S-Class Mercedes, you or God forbid, a Rolls Royce, you are a piece of shit. You have to be in a Tesla and try to save the planet. Used to be Prius. All those upscale Prius drivers are so glad Tesla came along so they could get a comfortable car. Now, this new Chevy Bolt, basically the Tesla Model 3 is supposed to come out sometime next year, the affordable Tesla. Apparently, the Bolt is that car now. It works great. I haven't driven it, but just going by the Motor Trend write-up, comfortable. Electric cars are all fast because you have instant full torque from an electric motor. 230-mile range because of the batteries. Operates like your regular car. And $30,000 after a $7,500 government rebate, which you get for driving an electric car, that might go away under the Trump administration. Who knows? But right now you get that. And that's right where the Tesla is going to be priced, about the same price point. So we'll see if the Tesla is good. It certainly won't have as wide a dealer network or service or whatever as Chevrolet. So I think this is huge. I think it's great. Personally, I don't have an electric car. An electric car wouldn't work for me because I do road trips, and it's still inconvenient to do road trips. There are some charger stations between states, but I go gas, and I'm okay with that. I'm not saying you should go one way or the other. I'm saying that it's very cool to see that this electric car is the car of the year. And most people can go electric because, let's face it, most people don't drive 200 miles in a day. So you could charge your car at night and commute back and forth to work. I think it's great. I have a friend who's on the waiting list for the Tesla Model 3, and I'm going to ask her if she'd be interested in buying the Chevy. We'll see. And the Tesla price hasn't come out yet. It's probably going to be more than 30 grand. Okay, so that's one thing. I'm getting away. Different activities. Now, Tiger Woods is playing golf this weekend. I am happy to report that. I read one guy said, who the hell cares? Tiger's washed up. I'll tell you who cares. Golf. Golf cares because you haven't watched golf in the last 2 years. You know why? Because Tiger hasn't played. Let's be honest. Nobody gives a shit. Tiger brought his first year in golf. Tiger brought $600 million to the game of golf. In greens fees and equipment sales and people watching and blah, blah, blah. You know how important Tiger is? Nike doesn't make golf clubs anymore. That's it. They were like, oh, Tiger's not playing? We ain't making clubs anymore. Tiger has to find different clubs because Nike stopped making clubs when he stopped playing golf. Tiger Woods is important. One of my sports regrets is I'd never seen Tiger play live. I may get to see him play now, but it won't be the same as watching Tiger 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever. And he was the greatest golfer in the world and arguably the greatest golfer of all time. So today is Saturday. He's 10th in a tournament of only 18. It's his tournament that he does every year. They're in the Bahamas, and I say good luck to you, Tiger. I think this is a good news story. I'm happy to see Tiger play golf. Not the same dominant Tiger, not automatic major winner, not Tiger versus the field, but Tigers playing golf. And I think that's great. And finally, on the subject of sports, okay, men, listen up. If you are not actively in an NBA game or at least doing some sporting activity, playing street ball, out for a run, you can't wear tights under your shorts. If you're walking around in the mall with tights under your basketball shorts, if you're at the McDonald's or at the Chili's, wherever you might be, then you're wearing leggings, okay? A woman explained to me the difference between leggings and tights is leggings don't have the feet, tights have the feet. So you're not looking like an NBA ball player. You look like a fool. You're wearing leggings. And since you're wearing leggings, how about wearing them with knee-high boots? Because when women wear leggings with the knee-high boots, it's lovely. It's a beautiful thing. So if you insist, gentlemen, on wearing leggings in public, then knee-high boots or perhaps some nice Uggs. Okay, that's it. That's what I got. Next weekend, December 8th through 10th, I will be in Grand Rapids at Dr. Grin's, one of my favorite clubs. Following week, the week before Christmas, December 12th through 18th, I will be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in Las Vegas at the beautiful MGM Grand. What better place to spend the kids' Christmas money than in Las Vegas? I've said it before. I'll say it again. See you in Vegas. Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. Good night.